The reading is taken from Matthew 5, verses 3 to 12. True happiness. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before were persecuted. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you. I just want to spend a bit of time reflecting on that phrase. Blessed are the peacemakers. I believe God particularly laid that on my heart for today. Have you ever had to make peace between people? Perhaps there are two people in your extended family who always just seem to end up arguing, or maybe you have to make peace between them, or maybe with other friends, or you've had to make peace between people at school or at work. I remember talking to a secondary school teacher once who told me that he'd once just found himself physically between two girls who were trying to rip each other to pieces. So please do pray for our secondary school teachers. He was a peacemaker. He was actively making peace. Or perhaps you've been in a situation where you've seen a problem coming and you've made the right environment. You've said the right things to encourage peace. Making peace is not easy, particularly if people have been hurt. And to make a meaningful and lasting peace is more difficult still. Reparations may be needed. Something might need to be given back or given in order for it to be just and right and fair. And forgiveness is generally needed on both sides for there to be peace. So how did Jesus make peace? What did he mean by peace? And what can it do to help us in our world today, affected by conflict and war? Firstly, we can have our PowerPoint, please. Jesus changed minds. You hear it being described as a battle of hearts and minds. Jesus changed minds. We'll do minds first and then hearts. In Luke 9:52, we read this. They went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome Jesus. That was because he was heading for Jerusalem. The disciples James and John saw this. They asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and commanded them not to do it. Then Jesus and his disciples went on to another village. Jesus stopped them. Jesus wanted peace between the Jews and the Samaritans, traditionally rivals. But he goes on to call James and John the sons of thunder. Boanerges, you'll remember later on. Jesus, perhaps teasing them maybe, had given them this nickname to remind them that they needed to be more peaceful, to seek peace. I love the depiction of that in the TV series, The Chosen. I don't know if you have seen that. It's really, really good. The way that they do the disciples and their characters. Do have a look at that if you can. It's free to download. So Jesus made peace by stopping unnecessary aggression and conflict. Jesus changes hearts. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Matthew 5, verse 44, prayer changes our hearts, doesn't it? When we pray, it changes our hearts. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Perhaps some of the most challenging words in the Bible. But we see this modeled by Paul, the Apostle Paul. It was when he was in jail, after receiving a beating with his friend Silas, that they pray and something miraculous happens and the jailer is saved. And we can pray that those who persecute us can be saved, that they come to know Jesus. We can pray that God will change their hearts and pray that our situation will change. And we remember those across the world suffering because they are Christians. We pray that their situations will change too. And then you remember Jesus actually enacted this, loving his enemies. It was when Jesus was arrested. The temple guards were acting on behalf of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of their time, but were oppressing people with religion rather than using it to help them to meet God. And Jesus exposed the hypocrisy and the falsehood of the teaching. He corrected their legalism in the way that they were taking people away from God. But the guards who were implementing their will, he treats differently. Peter strikes off the ear, having drawn his sword in with good intentions, but in a confused manner and not what Jesus was attempting to do by his Father's will at that time. And Jesus heals the ear of the temple servant. That really was loving your enemies, wasn't it? Those who were going to take him to be tortured and killed. And Jesus was a sign of peace. A sign of peace. Jesus didn't tell people that they would never have to fight. He says that because of him, actually even members of families will turn against one another sometimes, disagree. But Jesus himself never fought physically. He was a sign of peace, a sign of perfect peace. That is the perfect way. And we're told to strive for peace. In Hebrews 12:14, we read, "Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Strive for peace. We're going to have to work for peace if we want peace. It won't just appear. And Jesus was Prince of Peace. That was announced by the angels, wasn't it, when he was born? You remember? We'll be thinking about that next month. Jesus was a prince, and he had authority in the kingdom of God. That's a kingdom of justice, a kingdom where evil is not tolerated. Jesus didn't suggest peace at any price. Jesus came to bring people to repentance, to warn them of God's judgment. Everyone will have to give an account before God of what they have done. And none of us are perfect, as we've already been thinking earlier in our service. But Jesus spoke up for the poor and the oppressed. And there are times in history when people have had to stand up for what is right, to stop atrocities of horrendous evil that have been perpetrated by evil regimes, like the Second World War. And that is a last resort. We've already recognized the harm that is caused by war. But in this situation, people decided that there was no other option. And where there is simply good, and evil God is on the side of good. But our governments are not perfect. We are not perfect. And this is difficult space. So we pray for our governments. We pray that they would make decisions that are good and right in the eyes of God. And we recognize that as we don't live in a perfect world, we will need our armed forces to protect our lands and our people. We will need those who will serve bravely and will fight to protect, fight to maintain justice, to save the oppressed, to defend the weak, to uphold freedom, to keep peace, and to make peace. So we pray for our armed forces. We pray that God would keep them safe, that God would help them, that God would be their strength. Prince of Peace. And Jesus, we read in Scripture, is our peace. In Ephesians 2 verse 13, we read this. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. What does that mean? We were far away from God. Separated from him by our sin, the Bible says. We had rebelled against God, and we were objects of the wrath of God, and rightly so, subject to his judgment. But Jesus gave his life as a ransom for our sin, to pay the price that we could not pay. He brought us near by his own blood, for he himself is our peace. It's in a person that we find true eternal peace. It's in the person of Jesus and his sacrifice. And we all need to find peace in Jesus. And Jesus brings peace between different groups. There's no difference because all have sinned. So in Jesus, we are the same before God. We all need his forgiveness. But God has made a way. And now we can all be forgiven and know that we are forgiven. We can know God without any barrier. And Scripture tells us that barrier has been removed between different people groups. Because we are one in Jesus. Everyone who knows Jesus is God's son or daughter, adopted into his family. And Jesus creates a peaceful community. Everyone who accepts Jesus is equal within that community. Sometimes we find Christians struggling to believe in the same things, and it's obviously true that we're going to want to follow what we believe is right. So we're going to have differences of opinion sometimes. Because it matters. Because it matters what we believe. But there should be an attitude towards peace among Christians. We should seek peace together. And where we agree, we should agree strongly and act together as a larger community to bless the wider community, to bless the world, to join together and to work together for peace, for goodness, for righteousness. We do that as we meet as Katin, as churches together in Bangor and in other activities. And then we find Christians struggling to get along with one another in the same community sometimes even. In Philippians 4 and verse 2, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, I plead with Euodia and Syncti to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. We can fall out. We can fall out over big things or little things, over sometimes over silly things and sometimes over important things. But peace within our church family is so important. And it's essential if we're going to see growth for the kingdom of God. If we're going to see growth within the church, within us as individuals and our community, and depth of understanding, depth of love. And also if we're going to see growth in the wider community of more people coming to faith, peace between one another is absolutely paramount for the community and the mission of the church, to bless the community and to see growth in the kingdom of God. We need peace. And Jesus creates a peaceful community. And Jesus gives peace. Go in peace, Jesus says. So often, doesn't he? After he's healed someone, Jesus will say, go in peace. An encounter with Jesus gives peace. The Holy Spirit, called the Comforter, the Counselor, is known by the symbol of the dove. And it's by that symbol that he comes down from heaven and alights on the Son at the baptism of Jesus. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit. We are given peace through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, etc. John 14, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace is an absence of fear. It's a God-given state of mind and state of our hearts. Paul prays that we will experience the peace that passes all understanding. Remember that in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And Jesus promises peace. The word peace in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is shalom. And it's a wider thing than just the absence of conflict. It's a state of well-being, a place of justice and mercy, where there is prosperity for all, and health and fairness and love abounds. Shalom. That was Jesus' model of peace. This is a model of a heavenly future that we look forward to. This is the promised peace that Jesus gives us, a peace beyond this world, a place where there is no more pain and no more war. In Revelation 21 and verse 3, we read this of the heavenly future when the world has been recreated and people's God are with, and God is with his people. It says this: they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There will be heavenly peace. There will be eternal peace, a perfect peace in the future. We see a glimpse of that now. And we look forward to the promise of peace that Jesus has promised us in an eternal future with God. So Jesus made peace at great cost to himself, as we said at the beginning of the service, so that you and I can know God, that we can know peace with God in heaven, and that we can work for peace with one another on the earth. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We should seek to carry the Father's likeness. So let's be peacemakers in the model of Jesus as we seek to love, trust, and follow him. Amen.